Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am Blake Harrison and joining me as ever is the wonderful Stu Whiffen. How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right. I'm glad that we've got this episode rolling. It took us about 10 minutes of messing around just to get the intro right. Year and a half's worth of doing this and we're still struggling just to get
It's because we're doing things differently now. We're throwing in this whole, like, trying to put it on YouTube thing and all of that, which we never used to do with these. So, you know,
let's talk about that briefly. Because that's something that's been a real surprise, hasn't it? Like, we set out for this to be, you know, predominantly a podcast. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, we're doing things remotely on Zoom and things like that. You get the bonus of getting your video if you want to record it. And obviously, we've had some amazing chats with some incredible guests. And if you're new to the show, go check out that back catalogue. And so we started just putting them up on YouTube. And then it was only just I sort of stumbled across it. I was like, we've got quite a lot of subscribers over here. And it turns out lots of people like to watch their MMA podcasts. So we're pushing it now.
Yeah, we're going to try and see what happens. So yeah, if you are someone that's listening to this podcast and you like to watch the podcast, then check us out on YouTube, the MMA Fan Podcast YouTube channel. So check that out and you'll see our gorgeous faces while we talk to you. And we've got all our back catalogue of interviews on there as well if you want to hear us or see us talking to the likes of Dan Hardy, Michael Bisping, Alexander Volkanovski, Tyron Woodley, Mark Goddard, the Cage Warriors alumni, Paddy Pimblett, Molly McCann, Arnold Allen, God, the list goes on and on. Jack Shaw, Nathaniel Wood, and, you know, everyone else as well that we've spoken to. There's so many fighters that we've spoken to. Angela Hill, Derek Brunson, they're all there. So yeah, go and check that out if you want to see us talking to those people, having some really good chats. And some of them are really, really, really good chats.
Dan Hooker.
And he's fighting on this card. We'll be talking about him shortly. So, yeah, let's crack on, because there's a lot to talk about with UFC 281, and that's why you're here. We need to start at the top. I think this is a really, really stacked card. There's a lot of really interesting storylines going through this card. And one of the biggest storylines with the main event is something that I want to touch on, and it is, obviously, Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira for the middleweight strap. And the big narrative and talking point going into this fight is that Pereira's not only beaten Adesanya twice in kickboxing fights, but he also, in their last fight, knocked Adesanya out cold. And a lot of people have sort of clung on to that as a, well, that's what's going to happen in this fight. Like, Pereira is going to smash Adesanya because he knocked him out in the last fight, and that's going to be really difficult to for Adesanya to get over mentally and all that stuff. I went and I watched that fight. The knockout is only half of the story, because in the lead up to that knockout, if you haven't seen that fight, in round two, Israel Adesanya is really putting it on Pereira. And the fight is kind of paused for a standing eight count. And it's like, well, if that's MMA, There's no standing eight count. Adesanya will just beat him and when the job's done. So if that was an MMA fight, Adesanya wins that fight, in my opinion, because Pereira didn't look like he was surviving that. It looked like he was getting done. The ref stops it for an eight count, and then the fight reconvenes. And then I think they came out in the third round, and it was early in the third round where Adesanya probably thinks, I've got you now. Maybe drops his guard a little bit, and Pereira lands a crushing left hook on him that does just spark him out cold. And obviously there's going to be mental games being played, and there's going to be questions about whether Adesanya can get over that mentally, how he's going to be looking at the guy across the octagon from him that was the last person to knock him out. There are questions that will be answered, and I suppose question marks over Adesanya in general. But you cannot negate the fact that when you're Adesanya and you're saying, well, yeah, but if that was an MMA fight, I had already beaten him. The knockout doesn't happen. So I think he actually can overcome those questions and that kind of like seed of doubt that could be in your brain if you've someone that's been knocked out by the person you're now fighting, because he would have won that fight in MMA, in my opinion, because the ref doesn't stop it for an eight count. Adesanya just beats him and he wins. Is that something that's in Pereira's head? I'm not sure. But yeah, I just think the narrative, just to be clear, anyone that's telling you about, yeah, but Pereira knocked him out last time, ask them if they've watched that fight. Because if they haven't watched that fight, that will probably just be a highlight reel that they've seen. Actually watch the fight. And up until that point, I'd say Adesanya's winning the fight. And as I said, there's a standing eight count at one point where you think, if that's MMA, Adesanya wins. So have you been kind of swayed at all by the narrative coming out about the KO from Pereira? And have you watched any of the kickboxing bouts?
I've only seen the highlight reel. But one of the things that I think is important when we talk about the narrative of this, like, if it wasn't for that happening, then this fight wouldn't be taking place. Pereira would not be fighting for a belt.
God,
because
no.
We have seen him fast track ridiculously. For some stupid reason, Sean Strickland took that fight. No idea why.
It's not even taking the fight. It's like the game plan in the fight. What?
Yeah.
This guy is like a light. There was a picture of Pereira stood next to Dominic Reyes a few months back, and Pereira looked bigger than him. And Pereira's fighting a middleweight, and Dom Reyes is 205. Strickland used to fight a welterweight, for goodness sake, I think. Why on earth he went into that fight to go, I'm going to take on this guy that's probably in the cage like almost a stone heavier than me, and I'm going to just kickbox him, which is what he's known as being like one of the best in the world at. That was the dumbest game plan I've ever seen. That really wasn't a good plan. Strickland should have been shooting for takedowns to do that stuff. But Strickland is not Adesanya. Adesanya is up there with Pereira in terms of elite level kickboxing. But go on, what were you going to say?
I do think that fight has happened purely because of that backstory. You know, the UFC have got hold of it, and it's exciting, isn't it? It's like, Izzy's, you know, who's going to beat Izzy? Like, well, look, this guy's knocked him out, and it's like there's beef there. And because I'm a big fan of Adesanya, but I do think he's not had that many exciting fights for a while, and they've not been that great. And it's like, this has the makings of being a really exciting like K1 fight. And I'm all over it.
It's just whether or not it turns into one of those kind of like slow-paced striking chess matches. Whether, you know, but I don't think that. I actually believe that this could be a really exciting fight, because I think Pereira is going to put it on him early and not be massively afraid of Adesanya. I mean, obviously he's going to respect him, but I actually think round one might be a bit just like feel it out. I don't know, but then you look at the kickboxing bouts, and Pereira is straight after him, and he's going at him really, really quickly. So I wonder if we might see one of the most exciting Adesanya fights we've seen in a while. I hope so, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we all know what he can do, and there's a reason why we all love him. And it's just unfortunately we've not really seen that side of him in the last few fights. But I want to touch on something. You say that you think Pereira's going to put it on him early. There was some footage that was doing the rounds on the internet about of Dan Hooker and Izzy. Obviously training together. And it was really weird. At first, I kind of scrolled past it and I saw Dan Hooker like on Izzy's back, Izzy sort of cradled up like on his knees, and Dan Hooker throwing big bombs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in, you know, under his arms and catching him, you know, in, like with big strikes to the head. And I was like, oh fucking hell, if these two like had a, it's gone a bit too far in training. And then when I watched the sort of the full bit of the clip, it shows Izzy sort of walking away and then sort of going down onto his knees and covering up, to which I presume that this is a drill, a training drill for should he get hit by Pereira and put down, what do you do? And like, because what all you see is Hooker like pile on him and start throwing bombs, and obviously he weathers the storm. So I don't know. What did you make of that? Because I know we said you're on our little group.
Yeah, I don't think it's Pereira specific, because I think I've seen that before, or them do that before. So I think this is just a City kickboxing training regime where they just like...
Man, that's a bad thing to do a week before a fight, man.
But, I mean, who knows if it was a week before or if it was a while ago. Yeah, like, you don't know that. It could have been quite a while. I don't think it would have been a week before the fight. I think it probably would have been quite a while ago. But I think it's just that thing of, like, getting you used to that adversity and taking those blows whilst being down there, protecting yourself whilst getting up and dealing with that. Because, yeah, I guess you have to simulate those kind of things in training to be able to deal with it during the fight, I guess. And I part of me, after talking to Dan, thinks that Dan really enjoys that. I think
The guy's a crazy man. Yeah, like 100%. Yeah. He's a savage.
Loves just smashing people full pelt in the face in that position and having a laugh
about it later.
And it
would appear he is the prankster at City kickboxing by the sounds of things. It sounds like he's the guy that likes winding people up. Just on a little side note, have you seen any footage of Pereira's sister?
No. Where's this
going? I don't mean that in any other way.
What do you mean?
Fighting.
No, like, I don't know. No, I didn't know she was fighting. No.
Unbelievable.
Really?
Exactly the same style. There's footage of them on, like, side by side on bags, drilling the same drills.
Oh, really?
You can watch Pereira's sister starching fighters. It's like...
Oh, is she like a K1 fighter as well then? Or is she in MMA Bellator? Now?
Is she in Bellator or is she in... O1? I think it's Bellator. Yeah, dangerous, man.
All right, interesting. What weight would she be at then?
Oh, I'm not too sure, bud.
Because, I mean, if she takes after her brother at all, she's probably like 155 or something like that. Or like, she'd be big, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Looked ferocious, like. But I don't want to say too much because I've not done my prep on Pereira's sister.
Yeah, you've not done your research.
No. But, so you think Pereira's coming out early and he's just going to put it on Izzy? But we've got five rounds.
I don't know. We've got five rounds. That's another thing.
Minute I try and hold you to something, all of a sudden you're like, no.
But no, I don't know. I don't know. I think this is a really interesting one. One question I had for you is someone shooting for a takedown in this fight?
If anyone is, he's going to, right?
I think it would be a really clever idea to do it. I think just because Pereira has shown weakness in terms of like, being taken down. That's the other thing. I thought it would sort of be weird if Pereira became the champ, because I actually think there's quite a few people in the division that could beat him. Because
Bobby Knuckles, mate, I want to see Bobby Knuckles.
I really strongly like give a chance to like a Marvin Vettori, because Marvin Vettori can really take a punch, and if he can just wade through those punches, he will get a takedown on Pereira's takedown defense isn't brilliant, and he can just get takedowns and do that. And I think there's the Adesanya's takedown defense is so good, which is why the Vittoris, the Brunsons, even Whitaker, and they've really, really struggled against, because his striking's so elite, but you can't take him down very easily either. Pereira is easily taken down.
This is the thing, though, isn't it? It's like, if Izzy wins this, the division... We've still got Whitaker that's second best, and we've got a division that you're not going to see a lot of movement within it if Izzy sort of retains the belt. If Pereira then gets the strap, it throws it all open, and I think it makes the middleweight division super exciting. And so for that, I'd quite like to see Pereira get the win, just so it shakes it up a bit.
But will it shake it up, or will it just be an immediate rematch?
I imagine, obviously, with, you know, is his record, he's going to get the immediate rematch.
It'd be an immediate rematch, yeah. So I don't know if it really shakes it up that much. I sort of think the most ideal thing would be something like, is he winning and then going, do you know what? I've cleared out my division. Let me go away for a year, put on some muscle and go up to 205. That's what I'd like to see Izzy do, I think. But if Pereira wins, then yeah, you probably do an immediate rematch. We'll see what happens there. And yeah, if Pereira shows himself to be like the number one guy, the champ, then he's got to fight a Robert Whittaker. And I always want to see Robert Whittaker get a title shot because I think he's a great guy, a phenomenal fighter. I think the other thing is, what if Hamzat goes up in weight? Because, you know, I think Hamzat is going to stick with 170. Dana says he wants him to fight Colby. But if Hamzat struggles with the scales again, he's got to go up to 185. And that's probably the most dangerous guy for someone like Israel Adesanya, is someone who is really brilliant at taking you down, is a mauler. So, yeah, I think that could be interesting. But I think it would be a really good idea for Izzy to just see if he can slip in a takedown attempt within the first 3 minutes of the fight and just go, there you go, you've got something else to think about now. And if he can get him down, that will really scare Pereira. The only thing is, obviously, Izzy's takedown defense is brilliant, but whether his offensive wrestling is any good or not, we've never really seen it. Will he do a sloppy takedown? And we all know that Pereira trains daily with Glover Teixeira, who is, you know, a great jiu-jitsu practitioner. Could Pereira have like a nasty guillotine with someone taking him down, something like that, that someone who's not an amazing offensive wrestler could be susceptible to? There's other things to consider there. So it's maybe a slightly dangerous game for Izzy to play. But I think Pereira is way more susceptible to a takedown than Izzy is. And therefore, throw one in. Just see. Because then he's got to worry about you on two levels. He's got to worry about a potential takedown where he can't get his game plan off, and the fact that you are still one of the best kickboxers on the planet. And he's got to worry about that as well. So I think it'd be an interesting thing if he did throw in a takedown, but we'll have to see what happens.
It's got all the makings of a super exciting fight, because you can't, like, you can't really call it. You know, when we get on to the next fight, I think both of us will probably have quite, you know, firm ideas as to how that may go.
Yeah.
But I do think it's the wild card. Pereira's the wild card here, and he's been given a shot on the strength of that, the backstory and the history of the pair of them. And that, don't get me wrong, there's people that are probably ahead of him in title contention, but sometimes I'm on board with it, sometimes I'm not, that the UFC make the fights happen that the fans want, not necessarily the fights that are deserved.
Yes.
With this one, I'm all over it. Like, yeah. I want to see it happen. And if we do get a really high level kickboxing match, K1, whatever you want to, you know, make of it, I think it'll be excellent. You're going to see such high level striking. Izzy's phenomenal to watch. You know, when he's on point, even on a bad day, you know, he's Floyd Mayweather. He's so masterful and just impressive. And I think, you know, I'm hyped for this. I really am. And if Pereira wins, I'm not sad about it. You know, I think it, you know, further down the lines, you know, if it does, you know, if there is a rematch and he takes it again, then I think it does shake things up a little bit. But if Izzy wins, then I sort of agree with you. It's time to kind of look at stacking on a bit of timber and moving up, because I don't think there's a lot left at middleweight for him now. You know,
if he beats Pereira, the biggest test to Israel Adesanya is if Hamzat comes up. Like, there's no one else in that division. You could maybe make a case for Andre Muniz, but that won't be for a while. I don't think there's a real big test for Adesanya in that middleweight division unless Hamzat makes his way up there.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
Esparza, Zhang Weili.
No. Whoa. Who are you picking?
Oh, Izzy. I'm picking Izzy.
All right.
Are you picking Pereira?
I've got to now. Yeah.
Yeah, got it. All right, I'm Izzy, you're Pereira.
Right. Pereira, third round.
Do we have to pick opposites in every fight? Because if we do, I want to pick first in the next fight.
No, but I think because we can't really call this one, because
fair.
You know, it is a. So I'm going to go with Pereira.
I'm staying loyal to my boy. Come on, Izzy.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, look, if you want to climb out of Izzy's ass, we'll move on to the next fight.
All right, then. Well, Esparza versus Zhang Weili. Now, look, do you know what? We've made a couple of little jokes that are alluding to the fact that we are pretty confident Zhang Weili wins this fight. And I, you know, that's fair enough, like, in terms of it being true, I think. I feel like we don't want to disrespect Carla Esparza. I know that the last fight left a really bad taste in everyone's mouth because it was the worst title fight ever. And she's not only won the worst title fight ever, but she won it against Rose, who is kind of like a darling of MMA. Everyone loves Rose. So a lot of people haven't got a lot of time for Carla Esparza, but she is very, very good. Like she has
two-time champ.
Two-time champ. Phenomenal wrestling. You look down her resume, she has beaten a lot of big names. You know, look at what she did to Yan Xianan only recently. She got a lot in like a crucifix and actually got the finish then.
Beat Rose twice.
I mean she's got a win over Marina Rodriguez. We mentioned in our previous episode, which was about the Cage Warriors and the Marina Rodriguez versus Lemos card that happened this Saturday. If you haven't listened to that episode after this, go and listen to that episode. We talk everything Cage Warriors and the UFC this weekend and a little bit Arnold Allen as well. So we've already spoken about Marina in that sense. But she's got a win over Marina, even though I thought Marina did win that fight. But, you know, she has some very good wins on her resume. And she is a very good fighter, particularly has phenomenal wrestling.
She has. But
yeah,
the one thing that I think lingers at the forefront of everybody's mind when you think about Carla Esparza is Joanna with her high-level striking.
Yes.
Putting down one of the most horrific wins in UFC history. Like, I've never seen anybody look so outclassed, outstruck, and like have no ideas, no answers. And Joanna, probably near her peak at that point, just absolutely destroyed her, on Carla's first defense of the strap. For me, Zhang has that level of striking, if
she does.
Not better.
I don't know about better than what Joanna was then. Obviously,
maybe,
Zhang beat Joanna recently, first person I think to knock her out, that spinning attack was phenomenal. But Joanna then was just something. She wasn't human.
Terrifying.
She was absolutely terrifying.
When she'd go for them stare downs and drop down and look up, I used to think, fucking hell, that's terrifying.
That is absolutely terrifying. And her performances were incredible.
Yeah.
Zhang is brilliant, though. And the improvements that she's made are so good. And she's been training, obviously, with Henry Cejudo previously and all that. Her wrestling has definitely improved. Is her takedown defense as good as what, say, prime Joanna Jacek was? I don't know. We will probably find out Saturday, because Carla will chain takedowns. She will be relentless on her takedowns. She'll miss the first one, go for the second one, miss the second one, go for the third one, and she'll chain them all together. She'll just be running around at their ankles, desperate to get this fight to the ground. She's so kind of dogged in her approach to her wrestling and her takedowns, and she's relentless. But as you pointed out, if Zhang can keep it on the feet, which I think she can, given the improvements that she's made in her wrestling and all that kind of stuff, her striking is so good. And I really can see this being a really bad night for Carla. Like, again, one of those moments where you go, Jesus Christ, that was a bad KO, or that ref, please stop this fight now type situation, because Zhang's just really got a lot of power and technically very good with her striking. I mean, you could make a case that she won that second fight against Rose that she lost by, I think, a split decision, but it was a very, very close fight. Zhang is up there as one of the top women, probably pound for pound in the world. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting one, but if Zhang keeps it on the feet, this is going to be a terrible night for Carla. So yeah.
I mean, I lost you there for a little bit. The internet went a bit wonky there, so I missed a little bit of what you said there. But I'm going to say this. I think Zhang is the best strawweight in the world at the moment. I think she's absolutely phenomenal. Recently, like only last week, see her literally pick up Frances Ngannou. and knowing you think that's some serious strength. And I don't want to discredit Carla too much because her wrestling is very, very good. And, you know, and I hope we don't just see a load of constant takedown, you know, sort of chances to try and get the takedown in and Zhang just moving away and it just kind of nullifying the fight a little bit. It sort of echoes of the Paul Craig London show where he was just trying to get that takedown and then laying there and waiting to sort of... I don't want anything like that. For me, I just think Zhang will catch her and then I think that'll be it. And I think she'll just tee off and do a real number on Esparza.
I think it could be an early stoppage.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... If that's the case, it's like, I mean, well, I guess we'll touch on that on the post fight, actually, because I don't want to start writing off Carla Esparza's career, just going, well, what's next for her? Because she's currently the champ and we should respect that.
And I tell you what, she's got, I think we're not the only people saying it. I think there's a lot of people kind of maybe unfairly discrediting Carla Esparza. I mean, she is on a good run. She is a very, very good fighter. I just think Zhang's that level above, but. You know, she's got a very good opportunity to make a lot of people look stupid, including us. Not that we need much help in that. But, you
That's
know...
quite an easy thing to do.
Yeah, though. It is. So, she can shut a lot of people out, and it'll be motivation. She'll be hearing stuff like this, not to necessarily our specific chat, but other people out there will be saying Zhang is by far the favourite in this fight, and it could be a bad night for Carla. She's got a good chance to shut everyone up. And if she wins, if she does beat Carla Esparza, if she does beat Zhang Weili, sorry... then that's it then. She is number one strawweight in the world without a shadow of a doubt. She's got two wins over Rose, one over Zhang Weili, and she starts becoming the favourites in fights. Because if you look at the betting lines right now, she's a massive underdog in this.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, have you heard anything from? I'm not suggesting there being Pat Barry's been ringing you up, but have you heard anything from Rose? Because it all seems to be very quiet.
No, I've not.
I
heard
know she's not a big public talker anyway on the socials and such, is she?
Maybe she's waiting to see what happens in this fight because there was talk of her going up to 125, but she's meant to be very good friends with Valentina Shevchenko. So there was talk about her going up to 125, which makes sense. It's achieving something new, a new goal. Like, well, she's already a two-time strawweight champion. She can go and be a three-time strawweight champion, or she can go, I want to be a two-time strawweight champion and technically a two-weight world champion as well by going up to 125. But getting past Valentina is going to be tricky for anyone. I think she might be waiting to see what happens here. Because if Carla wins, Rose maybe does go up in weight. Because have a new challenge. Try something new. But if...
Dana White is not going to remake that fight for a long time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that fight's never happening again. They will never rebook Rose versus Carla. So if Carla wins, go up to 125, have one or two fights up there, see how your body feels with it, maybe challenge Valentina or hope that Valentina sort of goes up to 135 or does something like that and you can do something at 125. If Zhang wins, then you've got two wins over the current champ. And that makes perfect sense for you to want to stay at 115 and say, hey, she's not better than me. I've beat her twice and I'll prove it again. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if she's waiting to see what happens with this fight.
Yeah, figures.
But hi, Pat, and I look forward to your call.
I mean, the next fight, I mean, this is surely just going to be fireworks from the moment it starts.
This is
surely
people's main event type stuff, isn't it? I do have a slight annoyance with the fight, and maybe this is me being a bit of a Scrooge McDuck. But on paper, this fight's phenomenal. It'll be people's main event. It's probably a shoe-in for fight of the night. What an amazing fight we're going
to
get.
I've got to stop you for 2 seconds before we move on to this fight. Who you calling? Carla or Zhang?
Do we need to say it?
I want to hear it.
Zhang Weili, obviously.
When?
She gets a stoppage inside 3 rounds.
Yeah. First round stoppage, Zhang.
You're going first. Oh, he's ballsy. Yeah. God, he's off the fence these days, isn't he?
I just want to get these here because I want to nick these little clips.
Just
for
nick these little bit.
When you get it wrong, I can put it out on the socials. right, go on. Yeah, what's your Poirier annoyance Jones. With okay.
So as I was saying,
Poirier.
Fight of the night. Phenomenal. They're probably going to go to war with each other for a full 3 rounds. This is going to be kind of magic MMA stuff. It's going to deliver what Michael Chandler's been delivering for his whole UFC run. These kind of amazing fan-friendly fights. However, what I don't want to see at the end of this fight is people going, the winner gets a title shot, because they don't deserve it over Beneil Dariush. We've got Volkanovski going for the belt next. That's what's happening. Apparently, Islam is to-ing and fro-ing about whether it's in Perth, even though he said it would be in Australia in his post-fight chat in the cage. Now it's like, oh, maybe I'll do it in Vegas or something like that. Who knows? So I don't know what's going on there. But that should be happening. I think the Perth card is maybe February. That fight should be happening in February. Then you've got Beneil Dariush. It has to be Beneil Dariush. So if Poirier wins this fight or Chandler wins this fight and then they leapfrog Beneil Dariush, that's wrong. It can't happen. But the problem is they're much, much bigger names. And
they call it. They'll both of them, if they win, will be like, give me the fucking shot. And they'll be fucking screaming it. They'll be doing all the stuff that the media wants. And it will go viral. Everyone like saying, fucking give me the strap, blah, blah, blah. Beneil Dariush, I'll just fight whoever they tell me to fight, you know.
I'll fight 10 like, more people. I'll... Like, no, Beneil.
Dude.
Benny.
Call your shot.
It's so annoying. Because he seems like a really great guy. And he's a phenomenal fighter. And I feel like, on paper, he is the biggest threat to Islam Makhachev. I'm not saying he beats Islam Makhachev, but he's the biggest threat to Islam Makhachev.
Blake, we called it fucking 18 months ago, saying that's the fight.
That's
the fight,
that
needs to happen. That puts him in title contention. That gives him Makhachev the title shot. I mean, we got it wrong. He got the title shot and he fucking destroyed him. But... Beneil Dariush is the fight in that division. It's not the most sellable fight. It's not the most sexy fight, but it's nowhere near as sexy as a Poirier or a Chandler fight, because they're big names and the casuals love them because they bang. Yeah. And whereas I think 100% whoever wins that will call for that strap.
Yeah.
100%.
And the thing is, I say they're bigger names. Then I understand why Islam would maybe go, oh, I'll take that. I'd rather fight Chandler or Poirier, because exactly, it's the money. They're bigger money fights. But Dariush deserves it. Dariush should be getting the shot. The only thing I would maybe go, okay, fair enough, is if Volkanovski is fighting Makhachev in Perth, then maybe the winner of that fight, likely to be Makhachev in my opinion at the moment because of size, but I always want to root for Volk as well. But the likelihood is the belt won't be defended again for another like 6 months. So you're looking at August of next year being the earliest that Dariush potentially gets a title shot. It would maybe make sense to go the winner of Poirier-Chandler fights Benil Dariush in March or something like that. You can headline a fight night. You can make it a co-main or featured fight on a pay-per-view. But let's do something like that. Let's do Dariush versus Poirier or Chandler. That is the absolute number one contender fight. And then Islam or Volk takes them on in, you know, August, September, whenever it might be. That's what I think, you know, is the only thing I would go, okay, that's fine. But if Poirier or Chandler leapfrog Dariush, I'll be really disappointed with that. I think the UFC shouldn't allow that to happen.
Do you think out of the three of them that Dariush is the one that has got more chance of taking that strap off of Makhachev than Chandler and Poirier?
If I were to line them up right now, firstly, Makhachev's the favourite in all three fights. Mm. But I would say the toughest opponent is Benil, then it's Michael Chandler, then it's Dustin Poirier. Even if Poirier beats Chandler, Chandler is still a tougher fight for Makhachev because of Chandler's wrestling credentials. That's why he's a tougher fight for Makhachev than Poirier. Poirier, I don't think, is a tough fight for Makhachev. I really don't see where Poirier troubles Makhachev. Chandler's got great defensive wrestling and does hit hard, so he might be able to pull a rabbit out of a hat. Okay. Dariush.
So you've lined them up. You've lined them up. Poirier, Chandler, and Dariush.
Then, yeah, Dariush being the most effective challenge for Makhachev.
All right. Snog, marry, avoid.
Well, I'd marry Chandler all day long. Look at him.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, look at the back and forth we had when I asked him that question at the UFC press conference.
I forgot you got your little fucking bond, didn't you?
Yeah, and then he mentioned it on social media. So obviously, me and Chandler are already basically married, mate.
All right.
So yeah, but anyway.
So that means you're gonna who are you gonna avoid?
I'll have to think about it. I'll think about you know. They're both gorgeous men, Benny and Poirier. They're both gorgeous men in different ways. But anyway, going back to the fight, Stu Whiffen, unless you want to give your answer to Snog, Marry, Avoid, please do comment on our social media. Snog, Marry, Avoid, Poirier, Dariush and Chandler. There you go.
Let us know.
Let us know. The burning MMA
And I'll tell you what, anybody that ever
for.
Says I'll never get off the fence, fuck me, you fucking sat on the fence there, Blake Harrison, and refused to comment on who you'd have a little kiss with.
Well, I want them both on the show, so I can't, you know, I can't avoid any of them.
Okay.
But back to the actual fight. I mean, how do you see the Poirier-Chandler fight actually going?
I think it's just going to... I think it would just be a fucking absolute barnstormer of a bar fight in the first round. I think it's just going to be both of them are going to not take a backward step, and they're both going to try and assert themselves as the big alpha male hand thrower. They've both got big knockout power. They've both got great hands. Do you know what? The more I think about it, it could go either way. Easily, you know, and I think, again, it's what makes it, as we spoke about with Izzy and Pereira, that's what makes it super exciting. You know, it's just going to be I'm a little bit disappointed that we probably wouldn't have gone five rounds anyway, had this been a five round fight.
Go on.
I think Poirier his experience a little bit. I mean, looking at their records, there's not huge amounts in it. I think Poirier maybe has had to dig a little bit deeper in some like longer fights where he might have a little bit more experience of knowing when to kind of pull back and when to let go. But I but then He's so fucking exciting, Michael Chandler. Do you know what I mean? He'll get fucking plonked on his ass, then he's up, and then he's knocking you out. It's like, I'm all over it. But I think Poirier might edge it.
I think Poirier is the better striker, technically way better, really good boxing. And he said in his kind of like that countdown series thing that UFC does that he's going to play the Matador. So he's not necessarily going to come out all action, all swinging. But I think he's going to really put hands on Chandler and be slipping punches and trying to show off some superior boxing, which he definitely has. He is the way better striker. Does Chandler hit harder? I think he probably does. But he's got to land that strike on a guy that I think will be able to outmaneuver him a little bit. The one thing that we don't see enough with Chandler in the UFC, which he's got in his back pocket if he ever decides to use it, is the wrestling. He doesn't wrestle anywhere near as much as he actually should. And if he throws in, again, a bit like I said with Izzy at the start of this episode, but with Chandler, you've actually got some real credentialed, fantastic wrestling there. I think if he can throw in a takedown attempt early, it just gives Poirier something else to worry about. And then you've always got that weapon. When you've got these short, powerful wrestlers, you've always got that weapon of like, I've taken you down once, or I've shot for a takedown once. You're now wary of that. So now I'm going to fake the takedown. I'll come up with that massive overhand right, which Chandler's got and Dan Hooker knows all about. And I think that would be a really smart thing for him to do, to just bring some of the wrestling back. But as Mark Chandler said when he joined up with the USC, he's not here for a long time. He's here for a good time. And I think he's got a case for having the most exciting start to a UFC career of any fighter ever. I mean, knocking out Dan Hooker in the first round, then having an incredible fight with Charles Oliveira, which he lost when he looked like he was going to win that fight in the first round. Then he's got the Justin Gaethje fight. He lost, but back and forth, phenomenal fight. Gaethje, I think, was always sort of winning it, but it was a phenomenal fight. And then he's got that ridiculous front kick KO over Tony Ferguson. I mean, name me a fighter that's had a more exciting start to his UFC career than Michael Chandler.
That's had that fewer fights in the UFC and had that many losses, but people still think's one of the best fighters in the UFC to watch.
Yeah.
He is a
phenomenal fighter to watch. So, I don't know. I mean, I suppose I'd like to see Chandler implement a bit of wrestling, but maybe that's just not where he wants to be in his UFC career. He wants to be the fun brawler guy. The other thing I'm interested in is, where is Dustin Poirier's head at? What we've seen from Dustin Poirier is, he had the rematch with Connor, beat him, earned a huge payday. Then he had the trilogy fight with Connor, earned probably an even bigger payday. Connor breaks his leg. It looked like Poirier was probably on his way to winning that fight, but you never know. And then he fights for the title for the second time and loses for the second time. So he's sitting on a huge bag of cash and he's lost two title fights now. Has he still got the motivation to really put something together and go for a title again?
I don't think you agree to fight Michael Chandler if you've got any doubts in your head that you want to cement a legacy in this sport. You do not just go, oh, do you know what?
But is he not just the biggest name that he can fight that's probably a winnable fight? Like, who's a bigger name than Michael Chandler for Dustin Poirier right now?
No, it's a perfect fight. That's what I'm saying.
Like, who else does he fight? So he go up to welterweight. He wanted the Nate Diaz fight. That didn't happen. So who's left? Who does he fight at? Well, if he goes up to welterweight, who does he fight that he's actually got a good chance of winning and he's a huge name? Masvidal's his mate, so I don't think he's going to do that.
He's not going to touch Chimaev, is he?
Of course not. He's not going to go anywhere near Chimaev. Colby offered him out, but I think that's a bad matchup for Poirier. Maybe he knows that. Again, size matters in MMA, especially when you're dealing with someone that's going to try and grapple the hell out of you like a Colby Covington would. So that's a bad fight for him. Who's a good fight for him up at welterweight? I don't think there's many that are like a great name and very winnable. Chandler is the only fight he could take until...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Connor comes back from injury.
It's interesting. I saw an interview with Poirier, and he said to this day, he said, like, nobody hits as hard as Conor McGregor. He was saying how hard Conor McGregor hits.
Really?
I mean, he ain't been hit by Michael Chandler yet. No. Maybe that might, you know, adjust the scales. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Dustin Poirier is an incredible, incredible fighter. And I think this is just a really fun fight. I'm all over it. I think Poirier's experience and durability, I think is going to get him a win in this fight.
Yep, I'd agree. I'm going to go Poirier by decision.
Yeah.
Are you going the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, Poirier by decision. Where should we go next? Because there's a few fights we could go to. Dan Hooker's on the card. Frankie Edgar's looking at a retirement fight, I think, against Chris Gutierrez.
We can touch on all of
Molly
them,
McCann.
Let's go to Liverpool because we've got a lot to say about this one. You see her at the weekend, right?
I saw her at the weekend. She was looking in great spirits. She looked fantastic.
Yeah. But, do we ever see Molly McCann not in great spirits?
No, you don't really. but she's a week away from, or was at the time, from probably the biggest fight of her career. Erin Blanchfield, I'll have to pull up Erin's record, but I think she's on quite a tear in the UFC at the moment. She's also very, very young and is tipped to be a title contender at 125 pounds. She's on, I think, only a 3-fight UFC win streak, but she's only been in the UFC for 3 fights. So she's won every fight in the UFC. JJ Aldridge and particularly the Miranda Maverick fight, I think, were very eye-opening. Erin Blanchfield has very good striking and grappling. She's good everywhere.
6-inch reach advantage over Molly.
I mean, Molly's used to that, though. She's fought a few people with very long... Didn't she fight the person with the biggest... There was the biggest, like, reach discrepancy of, like, 10 inches or something like that when she had a fight against...
Mr. Tickle, so, yeah.
Mr. Tickle. I think that Molly's used to that. That won't bother Molly. Molly, what I feel Molly has to do is really take the reins of what this fight is early. She needs to keep it on the feet because Erin's grappling is very, very good. And she needs to get inside and make it a real dogfight because Erin's got some really crisp striking. Like, she's technically very, very good. But if Molly can get in her face and make it a brawl, I think Molly can do it. I think it's going to be really interesting. Erin's really young. She's only 10 fights into her MMA career. She's 23 years old.
It's only her full fight in the UFC. Yeah. She's got a win over Miranda Maverick that we saw at the weekend as well, just gone.
She's 23 years old. I suppose the big question is, I think from on paper, technically speaking, Erin is maybe the better fighter. But if Molly can really put together a game plan where she is making it a brawl, making it ugly, doing what Molly does best, where she's that such a fan-friendly fighter, where she's just that whole thing of like that people talk about of having the dog in you, of just like, you're just going to go, you're going to take one to give one, you're not going to let up, you're just going to be relentless in your pressure, your approach. The strikes that you're throwing, all that stuff, and just go for it. Maybe Molly can actually do something here, especially if Erin is affected by the occasion. Because Erin, as I said, 23 years old, this is the biggest fight of her career as well, against someone that's a bit of a star. She's not fought someone that's a star before, and she's not fought someone like that in a pay-per-view with this many eyes on it. And also, Erin Blanchfield is from New Jersey. This fight is in Madison Square Garden. She'll probably have a lot of support. And sometimes fighters do really well with that. But as we've seen with someone like Derek Lewis, some fighters really don't do well with that. With some fighters, home fights are distracting. They add too much pressure. And we don't know how Erin's going to be in this. And also, that New York crowd, as much as there'll be a lot of people from Jersey cheering on Erin Blanchfield, Molly will get a lot of love as well.
When Molly walks into any arena, if Molly walks into any room, people love Molly McCann.
Yep.
You know, and I think, like, it may well be in Erin's back garden, but when Molly walks in into the arena, it's going to light up. Just looking down that card, and if I'm looking at the card as how it's going to pan out on the night in the running order, Molly's the first superstar walking into that arena on that night.
Yeah.
And I think the place is going to light up.
Yeah, it'll be
and
interesting.
I think it will be too much for Erin Blanchfield. I know that is a sizable reach, and you've touched on it before. Molly's got that fantastic kind of boxing where she can come in low and come up and like. And we've seen, you know, I'm not saying it's her signature move, but that spinning elbows that she's got, they're no joke. And if you're going to try and sort of make up that distance, do it like that, and look what happens. It gets results. I think Molly's obviously in a really good place right now, and I think seeing an interview with her the other day saying that, you know, she's had the best camp she's had, she's training so well at the moment. You know, everything that's happening in that gym in Liverpool right now, that place is on fire, and I think, you know, it's showing some incredible results. Will Paddy be cage side? I don't know. Will he be in
the corner?
I would
hope so. I would hope he is. I think them two together, they just seem to have something. And I think Molly's alluded to this in the past, that like when Paddy's there with her, it just does something. It adds something to the fight week, to the day of the fight, to you know, walking out and preparing for the fight itself. The energy that they seem to be able to give each other in those important moments in the lead up to a fight, I think is really special. And I really hope Paddy is there for her, and I'm sure he will be. And that'll get even more buzz. Imagine if Paddy's in the corner and they see that blonde Barnett walking out in MSG supporting Molly McCann, they'll erupt with that as well. So that'll be, again, will that be confusing for Erin? She's the home fighter. And will Molly get a bigger cheer than her? These are all factors. We won't know until the fight how much of that will happen, whether Molly would get booed because she is fighting someone from New York. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I like when Molly McCann's up against it. You know, when we saw in that fight, you know, was it two or three fights ago where it was shit or bust. It was like, you lose this, you're probably going to get cut. That's when you see like Molly McCann excel, when like she knows her back's against the wall and she's got to pull it out of the bag. Like you say, this is arguably on paper the biggest test of her career.
Mm-hmm.
I think Madison Square fucking Garden, them places are made for people like Molly McCann. I think we're going to see something really special. I think we're going to see Molly McCann stop her. I think Erin Blanchfield, hometown fighter, is going to be absolutely overwhelmed with everything that's going on there. And I think she's going to probably have never faced pressure like what Molly McCann does, that constant front foot, never taking a backward step, just literally moving forwards. Molly's strong. Molly's a really strong fighter as well. Molly McCann, I think she stops her in the second round.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I really want to see Molly win this fight. And if she does win this fight, give her a number one contender fight. Give her someone in the top five that she can then just go, boom. Then she's fighting for the belt, because you don't get stars very often like Molly McCann. So I think, just shoot her to the moon. One fight away from a title shot if she wins this one, as far as I'm concerned. If Blanchfield wins it, I mean, as you say, 23-year-old dealing with that kind of pressure against a star like Molly, all that stuff. I think that shows that she could be kind of put on the rocket as well and shut up there. So obviously we are biased. We're totally rooting for Molly. We want Molly to win this. It is a really tough fight, but fingers crossed Molly does it. Do we need an official prediction, or do we both just say meep? Boo.
All day long. Always about the meatball, mate.
Always about the meatball. Right, where do we go next? Edgar Gutierrez is probably Frankie Edgar's retirement fight. Do we want to have a little bit of that?
Is this the fight that we wanted to see Frankie bail out on?
Absolutely like, not,
for
no.
For me, like, it would have been a nice little kind of veterans, you know, all-star fight.
Dom Cruz was the fight. Yeah, that was the fight to make. They didn't do it. Dom Cruz fought Chito Vera, got knocked out. So he needs time off. Probably the second best option might have been Cub Swanson or something like that. But
I mean, Cub's just been stopped as well, didn't he?
Yeah. Dom Cruz was the one. Dominic Cruz was the fight to make, and they haven't done it, which is annoying because, like, Chris Gutierrez looks really good, like, really good fighter, but... Is anyone going to be like, no one, if Chris Gutierrez wins, no one's going to say, oh, wow, you beat Frankie Edgar. They're going to be like, oh, well, Frankie's maybe a bit washed up as his retirement fight. And if Frankie Edgar beats Chris Gutierrez, they go, oh, well done, you retired. You got a win on your last fight. Who was it against? Chris, oh, okay. Yeah, well done, Frankie. Like, that's it. Like, it's not. It should have been Dom Cruz. It should have been a bigger name, and it should have been something that had more kind of like pomp and ceremony about it. It's Frankie fucking Edgar. Resume is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but Dominic Cruz ain't on it. And like, and I do think that I wonder how much Frankie was like, I just want to fight. Just give me this fight on this card.
In New York. Because he's a New Yorker. He wants to fight in New York. Of course.
And, like, and so that's what makes me think he's pushed for that. Because it's not a fight that anyone really wants to see. And I mean that with a great respect. Huge fucking Frankie Edgar fan. But you'd want to see a fighter of his stature finish with... You know, that kind of like superstar veterans fight. That's what you want. Because how much is left for Dom Cruz as well? And it's like, that's the fight. Just let that happen. Like you mentioned Cub Swanson. Like, I'm down with that as well. But this fight for me, it just seems like, I know it'd be nice to see him get a win and put his gloves down, you know, in Madison Square Garden and walk out of there, you know, the people's champ. But I just don't really think it's a particularly exciting fight. And I think we could have just had something that would have been got everyone talking. If that would have been Dom Cruz, other side of the octagon, I think we would have all been getting so hyped for it. And I think this could be like a bit of a muted farewell for a legend. Maybe he gets the win, and maybe then they do make that fight happen. I don't know. I don't know where Frankie Edgar is on his contract.
I think after this, he's done. I think he's going to retire. I think he's sort of alluded to it. It's at Madison Square Garden. He's a New York boy. I think this is him done. If you are kind of relatively new to the MMA and UFC scene, just to put into perspective for you, like Frankie Edgar, I mean, just running down the list of wins and losses. Like, you look at the wins, he's got like Jim Miller, Gray Maynard, BJ Penn, Charles Oliveira, Cub Swanson, Uriah Faber, Chad Mendes, Jeremy Stevens, Yair Rodriguez, Pedro Munoz. That is
Go watch the Gray Maynard fight. Go watch the Gray Maynard fight.
But he's fought lightweight, featherweight, and bantamweight. Most of his wins were at weight classes that he was too small for.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you about Gray Maynard, but I'm getting excited about Frankie.
Just go watch them fights.
And
absolute legend.
Losses as well. Losses to the likes of only the best. Like Chito Vera, who's staring down the barrel of a title shot. Corey Sandhagen's fought for a belt. Korean Zombies fought for a belt. Max Holloway, one of the goats of the featherweight division. Brian Ortega, Jose Aldo, probably is the goat of the featherweight division. Maybe Volkanovski. But there's no bad losses on his record. No bad losses at all.
As we were just talking about the good fights that he won before you spoil it, I was like, oh, that's incredible. And now all I can picture is Corey Sandhagen. Oh, my fucking life. Well, that's fucking horrible.
That and Chito Vera, the Chito Vera front kick as well. I mean, that's it. I mean, look, I don't want to be rude to Chris Gutierrez. Chris is unbeaten in 7 UFC fights. He's had one draw. Never fought anyone the level of Frankie Edgar, but a win puts him in the top 15. He's got wins at featherweight and at bantamweight. He'll have a big reach advantage, I think, and he's got better striking than Frankie. It's just whether or not Frankie can maybe get him to the ground and do what Frankie does best with his wrestling and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, when you look back at that Chito Vera fight, yes, it ended in that horrific front kick, but Frankie Edgar won that first round and he did it by taking him down and doing what Frankie does best. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. If I'm doing an official prediction with a heavy heart, I'm saying Chris Gutierrez.
I think the moment is going to be too sweet at Madison Square Garden to not. And I go Frankie Edgar decision.
Well, that would be nice. That would be the fairy tale ending. If he wins a fight by decision, so that puts his gloves down in the octagon and goes, New York, thanks very much, and the crowd erupts. That would be wonderful. I don't know if we live in that world, Stuart.
You have to spoil it, don't you?
Sorry, mate. I'm just a pessimist. I mean, I've also realised we've been going for about an hour and we've still got quite a few fights to quickly talk about.
Yeah, you want to talk about... I mean, I know if we played Snog, Marry, Avoid with this next guy, Dan Hooker.
I'd snog him, marry him, everything else. Oh, Dan. I do love Dan. I worry about this fight for Dan, though. I mean, this is another... Oh, okay. This is similarly to the Frankie Edgar fight. You've got a guy in Claudio Puez who is looking at, if he wins this fight, it's the biggest fight of his career against the toughest opponent of his career. And if he wins it, he's cemented into the top 15 of the lightweight division. And this sort of highlights where Dan's at now. You know, he's had a few losses. Things haven't been great for Dan of late. And the UFC are booking him like a gatekeeper to the top 15 now.
Let's look at who his losses are, though. Poirier, Chandler, Makhachev, Arnold Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of there.
No, not at all. But that's what I'm saying. But that's why this fight's really important. This fight is against an unranked Claudio Puez, who has, you know, looked very, very good. He's fantastic on the ground. He's probably going to have the speed advantage in this fight as well. Dan's got better striking. Puez has got good striking and I think he'll be faster, and that might become a factor in this. But if it goes to the ground, Dan is in big trouble. Puez has got nasty jiu-jitsu. He's got those, like, a couple of knee bar finishes, I think.
One of them over Clay Guida.
Yeah, I mean, and Clay's so experienced. Like, exactly. You don't do that to Clay Guida unless you're really, really good. So I think Dan is in trouble if this goes to the ground. So he's got to keep it on the feet.
He's got four knee bar decisions.
Finishes. Yeah.
I mean, that, wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Dan's got to keep this standing, I think. But the other thing is, where's Dan's chin at? I mean, he's had some wars with the likes of Felder, Poirier, then got knocked out by Chandler and then got finished by Arnold Allen. Where's his chin? That's a lot of damage to take on your chin. And you just think, can you go the full distance now with someone that might land a few heavy head kicks or something like Claudio can? I just don't know. And that's, I worry for Allen because I think he will be slower. I don't know where his chin's at nowadays. Yeah, Dan, sorry. Yeah, what did I say?
Allen.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, Hooker. I worry about him because I don't know where his chin's at. I do think he's going to be slower in the striking exchanges, although he's a better striker. And if it goes to the ground, he's in all worlds of problem. There's no safe area for Dan here, I don't think. So,
but don't you love Dan Hooker? He doesn't shy away from anything, does he? He's game as fuck, and he's an absolute, you know, killer. You know, when you've got wins over like Felder and Iaquinta and things like that, he's no joke, Dan Hooker. And I'm hoping that this is going to be a fight where we're going to see a little sort of turn of the tides, and we're going to see Dan Hooker start to get a bit of momentum again. Now, camp must be good, you know. If you've got Izzy there, you've got Volk there. You know, it's a good place to be. I'm going to go Hooker.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where you're going to get questions answered either way. If Puez wins, then you say, well, Dan's probably now just a gatekeeper to the top 15 and that's it. and Puez can really go on and like, let's see how good this kid really is. If Dan wins, then, you know, Puez is, you know, he's got some work to do before he can be considered a ranked guy. And Dan cemented himself. He's definitely a top 15 guy. Let's see if he can make himself a top 10 again and all that kind of stuff. So questions will be answered in this fight. Another fight involving one of those guys from around the Australasian area is Brad Riddell.
This is a great fight.
This is a phenomenal fight, an absolute banger. If Poirier and Chandler don't win Fight of the Night, it's because this wins Fight of the Night. This could be a really phenomenal fight. Brad Riddell's had a really tough year. He was on a four-fight win streak. Then he ran into Rafael Fiziev and Jalen Turner, both of who people are really high on, really, really good fighters. So no shame in losing those fights. But if you're looking at a third loss, things start getting very, very dicey up there with the UFC and things could go badly for him. Moicano's a fighter that's been around a really long time and is good, but never quite been like a top five guy or anything like that. But you look at his resume, it's like... He's only lost to top fighters, I think. He's like Korean Zombie, Jose Aldo, Brian Ortega, Rafael Fiziev, and then he had a short notice catchweight fight against RDA. There is only five losses. There's not one fighter in that five that isn't
all
a
straight
really,
up killers.
They're all phenomenal. As I said, Zombie, Aldo, Ortega, Fiziev, and then RDA, former champion, and up at a catchweight, and he took that fight on short notice. So yeah, Moicano is no joke. And his last four wins have all been by rear naked choke. And his his last three losses all finishes due to strikes. So it makes me think this fight isn't going the distance. Either Riddell finishes him with strikes or he finishes Riddell with a submission, likelihood a rear naked choke. So I think we're looking at a finish in this fight. Who are you going for?
I think we're going to see an interesting night for City Kickboxing, so I'm going to go Brad Riddell.
Ugh, I'm leaning Moicano.
Did you want to touch on Ryan Spann and Dominic Reyes?
I think we have to. Again, I know we've run well over the hour here, sorry guys, but Dominic Reyes coming back is big news. He's a big fight. I mean, what a fall from grace. I mean, he's had 18 months off now after that brutal KO, spinning elbow KO from Jiří Prochazka.
That was so awful.
It was horrendous. But the storyline going into this fight is, where is Dom Reyes at? Where is he at? Because he was undefeated going into the Jon Jones fight. Then he puts on a fight that a lot of people thought he won. A lot of people thought he beat Jon Jones. And a lot of people are citing that fight as the reason Jon Jones decided, you know what, I don't want to mess around with any of these young, athletic, whippersnapper 205ers. Let me pop up to heavyweight now. I mean, obviously, the timing of it hasn't worked out because of Jones's personal issues and other situations going on with Ngannou, Stipe, whatever. But a lot of people have cited the Dom Reyes win that Jones had being so close that's the reason Jones left 205. That is a real compliment to Dom Reyes. And again, a lot of people thought that Dom won that fight with Jones. But since that fight, he got knocked out by Jan Blachowicz in the vacant light heavyweight title fight. Then he fights Jiří Prochazka and gets knocked out again really, really badly. What a fall from grace from a guy that was in the position he was in, undefeated going into the Jones fight. And now, three-fight losing streak he could be on now? Is he already on a three-fight losing streak, or is he a two-fight losing streak now?
It's not two. I might be wrong. I think he's only two.
So, yeah, only two-fight losing streak, I guess, then. But again, if he loses this fight and Spann can crack, then that's a three-fight losing streak for Dom Reyes. No, he's not. Yeah, well, technically, he is on a three-fight losing streak, isn't he, already, because the Jon Jones was a loss. So he's he's on a three-fight losing streak. That's a huge fall from grace. That's got to mess with you mentally. So where is Dom Reyes going to be at going into this fight? Spann's hit and miss. He's kind of really struggled to get a good run going. He wins one, loses one, wins one, loses one. Skill-wise, I think Dominic Reyes is much better than Ryan Spann.
Definitely.
But where's Dom Reyes's chin after those two brutal knockouts? And where is he at mentally? They're the big questions. What are your thoughts on Dom Reyes or the fight itself?
I think this is the perfect fight for Reyes because it's. I don't think he's going in with a legit... I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone's a killer at this level of mixed martial arts, but he's not going in with a jury or something like that. He's fighting somebody that he should, on paper, beat and beat comfortably.
Yeah.
He has had a very rapid fall from that performance against Jones where I thought he won that fight. I think this is a perfect fight for him, and I think we're going to see a rejuvenated and a confident and a focused Dominic Reyes, and I think we're going to start to see him kind of get back to where he belongs.
Well, let's see if that happens. I think that's everything, is it? I mean, there are a few other fights in the card, but there's not much to talk about.
So you saying that Reyes is going to win?
Do you know what? I am a bit torn on this one. I'll lean Reyes. I will go with Reyes. I hope that his chin's all right and mentally is there, but Reyes, skill for skill, should be better than Spann pretty much everywhere. So yeah, I'll go Dominic Reyes.
Okay. Right, I think we're pretty much there, aren't we? I mean, there's some other bits and pieces, but we've given you plenty to chew on there. Let us know what your picks are. We're on all the social media platforms. Just let us know. Let's pick the top three fights. Just give us your three picks for the top three fights. We'll have a little look at that, compare them to what me and Blake's calls are. We'll be back after the event for a post fight show. In the meantime, give us a follow on the socials, give us a like, love, share, a retweet. Go check out the back catalogue. We've got a massive back catalogue now of some wonderful guests, a real who's who of guests. If you're interested in fighters that are on this weekend's card, we've had Molly on twice, we've had Dan Hooker on, so go give them episodes a listen. You will not be disappointed. Enjoy the fights at Madison Square Garden this weekend. We'll see him next time, right?
We will see you next time, and hopefully, I don't want to jinx it. Stu's looking at me because I'm going to jinx it, but we might also be having an interview with a very highly ranked light heavyweight contender coming up very, very soon as well. So, as Stu says, post-fight show next week after the event, and then hopefully after that, we'll be bringing you a fantastic interview with a very highly ranked light heavyweight UFC fighter. So, fingers crossed that all goes well. I've jinxed it, haven't I?
You have. I purposely didn't mention it because of that.
Oh, I'm being positive. Positive Blake's in the house.
See you later.
Right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.